Hey, Northwest Ohio. Are you tired of just surviving? Are you ready for some fresh ideas? You've come to the right place. The Thrive Tribe 419 podcast features local experts in wellness and experiencing the best life has to offer in the Midwest. Let's thrive together. Hello, Tribe. Today, I had the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Jennifer Flaghar, who is an emergency medicine physician board certified by the American Board of Emergency Medicine. She's worked in the Mercy Healthcare System serving the Toledo and Defiance community since 2008. She is a graduate of the Emergency Medicine Residency Program at Mercy St. Vincent Medical Center, where she was a flight physician with Life Flight. She is a 2008 graduate of Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine in Erie, Pennsylvania. Currently, Dr. Flaghar is pursuing a fellowship in integrative medicine at Arizona University. In her spare time, she enjoys spending time with her family of three children, running, and paddleboarding on the Maumee River. Her interests include avoiding GMOs, cloth diapering, baby wearing, and extended breastfeeding. So she and I have a little bit in common, and I actually discovered her on Instagram under Integrative Dr. Mom. I noticed on her Instagram account that Dr. Flaghar had some really great tips for going back to school and trying to juggle work and family and live a more natural, holistically minded life. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in the podcast. So please stick around and listen in on that very interesting conversation. Additionally, I wanted to thank my listeners for leaving reviews on iTunes. It's so cool to go into iTunes and see that people are enjoying the podcast and getting some benefit from it and encouraging others to listen. That just really makes my day because, like I've said before, this is a labor of love for me. I don't get paid to do this. This is really a dream that I've had for a while, and I finally have the opportunity to do it, and I really just want to help spread the word and connect people. So I've decided that on each episode, if I have a review that I think is valuable or interesting, I'm going to share that review. So today, I just want to share a nice little succinct review. This is by Stormy Fly, and I think I know who this is. Maybe she'll come forward and confess. But it says, "My Tribe, fantastic pod with great information and suggestions about natural living and ways to thrive in the 419 or anywhere, really." And that really sums it up. I mean, that's what we're all about. So thank you, Stormy Fly, for leaving that great review. And since we've had a few reviews in the last week, iTunes has decided that they are ready to say that we're legit and that people like us and that we are rated at 5 stars. So yay for us. Yay, Tribe. Please keep leaving reviews. You can go to iTunes. You click on the search button, search for Thrive Tribe 419, click on our icon, click on the reviews button, and that's where you can leave your opinions, encouragement, whatever you have to say, and hopefully recommend this podcast to others who might benefit as well. So thanks again, everyone, for your support. I am just humbled and floored by the progress that we've made in the last couple of weeks. And I hope you enjoy this episode. So let's get started. Hey, everybody. I'm here with Jenny, also known as Dr. Flaghar, and also my husband, Matt. And we have already started nerding out, and I'm just so excited to have you here. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Hi, everybody. I'm the third wheel for today.
There's Matt. I think this is kind of funny because I found you on Instagram at first, and I didn't realize that you were a local person. I saw your Instagram page, the Integrative Doctor Mom.
Yes.
And I was looking at your stuff, and I thought, oh, cool, I need to follow her. She's, like, minded, and, you know, she's a doctor that, a conventional doctor that is doing things that I think all conventional doctors should do.
Right.
And then I realized one day that you were local because it seemed like some of the people that I'm connected with were kind of connected with you, and I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to get you on the podcast.
That's awesome.
So neat. So I'm so glad that you could be here.
I'm glad you creeped on my Instagram account.
Yes, I totally creeped you.
I love having followers. And then I saw what you were doing, and I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah. So, and what my goal has been all along is to connect people. So hopefully this will help some people get more information about integrative medicine. And my husband and you and I have been talking about how there are different kinds of integrated medicine, but we want to know what you're studying. So can you tell us what integrative medicine is and how you got interested in it?
Yes. So basically integrative medicine, it's healing-oriented medicine. It looks at the whole person, and it includes all aspects of life. So mind, body, spirit, all of those things. And it uses both conventional and alternative methods. So basically, I am in this integrative medicine fellowship through the Arizona College of Medicine, and there's another program that's out west always, or also, and you know, all these things are out west, of course, but I went to Arizona for the first time for my fellowship week and loved it. But basically, it's, you know, the marriage of conventional medicine and practitioners, you know, that love alternative medicine, but they look at, like, a lot of evidence-based things. Mm-hmm. And that's when I went there out for the lectures, and when I'm doing my online courses, there's PubMed, you know, after PubMed study, all these studies that you can click on, you know, why is this fat good for you? Why is the Mediterranean diet good? You know, why is this diet bad? A lot of nutrition stuff,
which is really important these days.
Right, right.
Starting to get a little more traction.
Yes, I didn't realize how important vegetables actually were and how much evidence was behind it. I mean, I knew how important, but the evidence is there, which is awesome. And you don't get a lot of nutrition training in medical school. I don't remember getting any, honestly.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah.
That makes me sad. And concerned.
Right, right. It's just what we're lacking. And we do have to learn a lot in medicine, in medical school, mm-hmm. and in residency. And I'm board certified, board trained emergency medicine. So I wasn't going to learn about nutrition that way. So what I've learned about nutrition was on my own. And then now I'm just exploding in information with this fellowship.
And how did you get interested in it in the beginning? Some people arrive at it through their own health issues and researching those, or was it something else?
Well, I'm a DO, so I'm a doctor of osteopathic mm-hmm. medicine. So I've always loved, you know, the whole person and stuff, and mm-hmm. osteopaths do manipulative medicine. Where they do, like, chiropractic, like, medicine, they can do that.
It's actually hands-on.
Right, right. And I do that in the ER. People come in, and sometimes I'll do suboccipital release for a headache, and they really appreciate that. So
that's awesome.
I still can use that in the ER every once in a while. But why I came to this lifestyle, I never used to pay attention to health the way I do now. And it was basically when I got pregnant. And I know a lot of people, that's what happens to them. When they either become a mother or they become pregnant or they have their own health crisis. But mine was when I was pregnant with my son, Declan. You know, you can't have medicine when you're pregnant. I used to be on nasal steroid sprays for, like, allergies. So I would just use regular nasal saline. And then I would take honey, you know, to help, like, and, you know, the bee pollen with the allergies. So I learned all these different ways to make these problems go away when I was pregnant. And you're just more aware of what you're putting in your body and what you shouldn't put in your body. food, you start to read labels, you start to eat better. So that's kind of one of the ways. And then I got into the whole aspect of, we could say, crunchy, you know, mothering, people say, was when I knew I wanted to breastfeed. And I am very type A personality. I'm more laid back now, having three kids. But I was like, I'm going to breastfeed, and I'm at least doing it for 8 weeks, and then I'll see, because I'll have to go back to work. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how can I maximize that? And my sister is actually a La Leche League leader.
Oh, great.
Yeah, she would actually be a good one to have on the program. But she lives she lives in North Carolina. But she's amazing. I have my own personal, you know, lactation consultant, basically. She's not certified, but... You
it's
know,
so important to have that support at the beginning, because it's kind of shocking.
She was amazing. I don't know what I would have done without her, and I've told her that. And but then with my personality being obsessive, you know, I was obsessed, and then I breastfed to almost three for my first one. But then I was like, well, I have to have a natural birth, because if I don't have a natural birth, then it's harder to get that initial, you know, breastfeeding and the latch, and I don't want to have a C-section and have drugs in my body and give that to my baby. And I'm just, that's how I...
This sounds so
And the familiar. Whole microbiome thing.
Good.
Yeah, it does sound familiar, doesn't
it's
it?
It's a good thing, though, because this is stuff that I didn't learn in medical school and that I didn't learn in my OB rotation. I mean, it wasn't even really put out there that much. And not, you know, not to say that there aren't doctors that aren't really, you know, my doctor was very supportive of all my craziness during my pregnancies, but you know, and then we did the cats laying on my paper, and you know, then I wanted to cloth diaper, you know, all that stuff, baby wear, and it just kind of spiraled. So then I would work in the ER, and I love my job, I love the ER, but I would see the same people over and over again for the same health problems and this chronic illnesses caused by chronic inflammation, diet, obesity, and they're just hopeless. They're like, my stomach hurts, I went to GI, they said go on this pill, the pill's not working. And I would talk to them, like, well, what about a food journal? You know, maybe you have a food intolerance. Or they're like, no one's ever talked to me about that before. And I'm like, well, that's frustrating, but I'm going to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, with some of that, it's access to healthy food, which I wish we could change. And some of that, you know, is where you live. And some is just what they learned growing up. You know, grab a bag of Cheetos instead of grabbing a bag of carrots or something. So then I told my husband, I'm like, I think I want to do this fellowship because I think one day I want to have my own practice. And I want people, you know, to come to me that want to make a change, or even if they're just curious, and I could tell them, like, how to get off these meds, or how to get healthy, or even just telling people if they get sick, you know, it's probably, it could be a virus, and you could get better using herbal medications, or feel better faster instead of Tamiflu or something. You know, elderberry is actually, you know, proven to work just as well.
The research is amazing on elderberry.
Right.
But it just, doctors just aren't aware.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're not aware. They haven't read the studies. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're unfamiliar with it. Mm-hmm. You know, where Tamiflu is just in your face, like, give it. This is standard of care.
Right.
Where elderberry, because it's an herb and it's not, you know, out there in the pharmaceuticals, it's not...
Well,
you know,
the pharmaceutical reps aren't coming in with elderberry syrup and delivering lunch and bringing a t-shirt.
Yes, which actually, it's crazy. And luckily, ER, I'm not that influenced by pharmaceuticals because it's an emergency and, you know, I have to do it. And I do a lot of teaching with antibiotics, with ear infections, with kids. There's watch and wait approach where you give the parents a script for the antibiotic and you say, look, if they're not getting better or their fever continues, then give the antibiotic, but it's probably viral. So, I mean, there is a lot of ways that I can make a more natural approach in the ER, but I always talk with the parents because the big thing are the parents with their kids, I've noticed, are the ones that are most on top of things. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I think that's true. And the education component is so important. I think a lot of parents will really do anything to help their kids feel better if somebody can just educate them on what it is, the steps they can take to help their kids.
Right.
And when it works, their eyes are opened, right? Mm-hmm. Mine are. Yeah. But it's very rare that I'm educated by a conventional doctor.
And it's really
natural steps to take.
One thing that really like pulled at my heart, we had this meet and greet for my integrative medicine, the fellows that are in the fellowship, mm-hmm. when our week in Arizona when we met everyone. And over again, everyone was saying, why are you doing this? Why are you on this journey? Why are you doing this fellowship? And doctors out there are fed up with not getting enough time with their patients, a lot of them.
Oh.
They're in, you know, a big hospital, and you have 15 minutes, and you have to see the next one, and mm-hmm. that's it. Mm-hmm. And with integrative medicine, it's just kind of a way out for them to get a whole hour for an intake with your patient, because you have to have it for, you have to have the yeah. whole hour to talk with them and learn stuff. So it just, it broke my heart a little bit, because people wanted to, but it made me happy too, because people want it, they want more time with their patients.
That's great.
Yeah. So it, I think it's, you know, I think it's kind of moving in that direction. Hopefully things are.
So I have a question coming from, since I do some integrated healthcare. So often I'm doing some of the nutritional things and talking a little bit about food, you know, intolerances and other things that are starting, that are kind of seen as alternative. I know I've gotten pushback at times, whether it's from other people that I may work with, or even sometimes the patients or parents, like, what, you know, like, why are you talking about mm-hmm. these sorts of things, like, instead of just, like, medicine and, you know, that sort of thing. So I was just kind of wondering what your experience has been with that.
I think it's becoming more accepted, but definitely still a lot of pushback. I know one of the physicians I know that he hasn't trained in integrative medicine, but he does that. He gets a lot of pushback from the family practice doctors, especially but with thyroid issues. And personally with me, I had Hashimoto's, that's a whole nother story that I think could have been a different story if someone would have known what was going on. He gets a lot of pushback, and he's like, he just like laughs with them. He's like, I'm making you feel better, you know, just don't listen to them. We got this kind of thing. And you know, I think, though, that people are starting to open their eyes to this kind of taking control of your own health. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. So I think if patients, like you were saying, your patients are like, well, why? And, you know, why are you thinking this? Why not just medicine? I think you just talking to them will kind of spark something in their head, and they just might not be ready yet. So right. then you might see them again, and they'll be like, you know, I was actually reading about what you told me, or one of my friends, I was talking to them, and then they'll be like, it really does make sense. So I don't take it personally if someone, you know, looks at me like I'm crazy, and especially mm-hmm. like in like the mom group I'm in, like, you know, people, they know I'm a doctor, but then I'm very alternative with how I treat my family's health, and mm-hmm. I do things that, you know, people might think are interesting and stuff, like a little
interesting.
Yeah.
Air quotes.
Right. I know. And you know, but then, and I joke with my husband and about certain things, and I'll be like, yeah, we're going to give the kids this, you know, to help, you know, prevent the flu and stuff. And I'm like, just wait, in like 5 years, you'll think I'm not crazy anymore. You know, like that kind of thing. Or
I think that too. Like I'll say something to somebody, or they'll ask me, why are you doing that with your kids? Or why aren't they allowed to eat this or that? And I just, you know, and I feel the pushback too. And I think in 5 years, you're going to read about this in your favorite magazine.
Right.
And you're going to say, oh, maybe Rose isn't so crazy.
I know.
I'm just waiting for it.
Isn't that sad?
Like, because the research is there. It's just not in the headlines. Because
right.
pharmaceuticals are the money makers.
Right. Or like red dye 40.
Yes.
I mean, like that, it's still, I always check like goldfish. It used to be in goldfish. And we don't do that because we don't do gluten. But they did take it out, which was interesting.
I heard about that.
Yeah. But it still is in Cheetos and Doritos mm-hmm. and, you know, slushies and stuff. And we were at a church function, and I let my kid, you know, I'm like, you can have one thing, you know, a slushie or cotton candy. All that dye, it's just not necessary. But all this stuff is in conventional, like, lunches at school, all this red dye and all this, these preservatives and toxins, and then the kids act crazy, and then the teachers are like, they have ADD, put them on medication.
Right.
And it breaks my heart.
Goes downhill from there.
Yeah, and in the ER, I see all these kids on all these amphetamines.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
They're having trouble sleeping, or they're, like, really skinny. And I'm like, what is this doing to their body long term? I mean, my husband, he is going to be mad for me talking about this, but he was
we won't tell him. Go
right?
ahead.
He probably won't listen. He was on ADHD medicine, and I'm like, I just want you off Adderall. Like, that's not good to be, like, that is a stimulant for your body to be on that, like, all the time, like 12 hours a day. So he's actually on, like, an herbal supplement, and he's off all of his, he was on Vyvanse and Adderall, and he's off of all of it. And I think, yeah, and we're doing 23andMe. We're getting our stuff back hopefully in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, I did that. It's so cool.
Really? I'm excited to see. I know I have MTHFR mutations. Mm-hmm. I'm excited, or I'm not excited to see what he has.
I swear you guys have been, like, separated at birth.
I know, it's so cool.
Everything I hear is like,
hello, nerds.
I just want to be like, that's just like you. That's just like you. It's like,
I love all the nerdy stuff, and I love all the natural nerdy stuff, and I love that there is research coming out, mostly from Europe, but, you know, I mean...
And hey, research is research. I don't care who does it, if it's legit.
Yeah.
You know? And case studies, too, or just, you know, trying things. Like, if it works for me, I believe that it works, you know?
That's one of the things.
So the only evidence that I need.
Right. So Dr. Andrew Weil, who mm-hmm. is, like, the founder of integrative medicine,
yeah.
he said, so when he was lecturing to us at, you know, at our fellowship retreat.
You got to meet him?
Yes. I have a picture with him on my Instagram.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
He was so,
so
cool.
Jealous.
He was so cool. So he said one of the things with integrative medicine and the evidence. So say, like, for example, breathing techniques. There's some research out there, but not a ton. So is it gonna harm your patient if you give them breathing techniques to deal with anxiety? Mm-hmm. It's not going to do a lot of harm. Mm-hmm. So if there's not a lot of evidence, then that's okay. Give it. Or, like, honey for your allergies. And or there's actually research for honey for cough, by the way. It actually beat out placebo. Mm. So, but like,
wow.
Those kind of things, if it's low risk and there's a potential that it works, then that's okay. Let's try it. But if it's something that's more dangerous, like an herb that has more side effects and there's not a lot of evidence, then, you know, we're just going to wait on that. And that's kind of what integrative medicine is. And I like that.
Hey, Tribe, I just wanted to take a moment to let you know about today's sponsor, who happens to be Deep Roots Wellness. And Deep Roots Wellness is owned and operated by my husband, Matt, who is a licensed professional clinical counselor by day and a certified EFT practitioner by night and weekend.
Right.
So, Matt, tell us, what is EFT?
EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques. It's a mind-body exercise healing modality. It's sort of like... what I would call acupuncture for your emotions, with no needles.
And how can it help just the average Joe out there?
Well, it can do a lot of things. It can be a performance improver, can help our mood, if we're having any issues with stress and anxiety, depression, sleep problems, we're trying to deal with weight, food cravings. Any type of trauma, if somebody has been through things like that, can help in a number of those things. Also, quitting smoking is a really good modality for that. And also, any kind of phobias or fears that we have.
I also want to throw in there that I used EFT very successfully with my last labor and delivery of our baby. It, I think, helped extremely well in the preparation and when I began to go into labor. But if anyone is interested in learning more about emotional freedom technique, you can listen to Matt go into quite a lot of detail about this modality if you listen to episode 3 of this podcast. So it's Thrive Tribe 419. Look for Matt H., Emotional Freedom Techniques, episode 3. And if you email Matt at mhspecialist@gmail.com before October 1st, 2017, to schedule your EFT session, you can get 50% off. So that's a pretty good deal. I would jump on that if you've been thinking about trying EFT. The first session is about an hour.
Yes, it's usually about an hour. And I do consultations, so if you aren't sure about it or how it can help you, we can email. If you get in touch with me, we can also talk over the phone to see if EFT is a good fit for you.
And you are located in Defiance, Ohio, which is about an hour from the Toledo area. But if anyone is not able to travel, you can also do EFT via Skype, because you are not actually touching anyone. You are demonstrating EFT and teaching how to do EFT.
Correct. So you can do EFT through Skype, through FaceTime, over the phone even. There's a lot of different ways of getting in touch with me and doing an EFT session that isn't in person.
Right. So again, if you'd like to schedule your session before October 1st, 2017, you will get 50% off that first time. So again, email MHSpecialist, that's MHSpecialist, @gmail.com. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, and I hope you tap into wellness.
You know, the big thing, though, is diet, like we were talking about. And I think more and more people are starting to pay attention. Like, I love that there's more organic stuff in the grocery stores, that, you know, there's food dyes taken out of things, that non-GMO project is getting bigger.
Yeah.
These are all things that I'm like, they're paying attention to what the consumers want. So hopefully it will just keep getting better and better. So I don't know. I think it definitely, to return to your question, starting to become more big.
Right. That's something that I'm starting to see some of that. It kind of goes in little spurts, and there's definitely kind of a synchronicity that happens, because I'll talk to somebody and it's like, oh yeah, like, you know, I'll talk about like tapping or something, and more people are like, I've actually heard of that before. And before, like, when I first moved out here a few years ago, no one had ever heard of it. And now
they must be listening to the podcast.
Yes, that's probably it.
I know that's it.
But, you know, so I start to hear more, like, understanding of those things, and even things like gluten-free or the dyes, especially with kids' diets, because I get freaked out when I come into a patient's room and, like, kids drinking, like a can of soda, and it's, like, 8 in the morning. I'm like, and they're out of control. I'm like, I don't want to be really condescending and say, you maybe don't want to give them that, you know?
I know, and it's a fine line between, like, judging other mothers especially, or or just thinking, you know, they're just not educated. And you don't want to say, like, maybe you shouldn't, if you're worried your kid has ADHD, maybe you shouldn't let them drink Mountain Dew, you know? And they even, like, will say, like, oh, my kid does act crazy after he drinks or eats this stuff. And I don't know, you know, it's a fine line. So that's why I like doing it more as a doctor as opposed to a friend. Because when you're a friend, then you don't want to lose those friends, and, you know. So the other thing that's really cool is the whole mind-body medicine, which you work with a lot. And this is big with integrative medicine. And I actually, and like you were talking about, we were talking nerding out before the podcast about motivational interviewing, and it sounds so boring. And it is kind of boring to learn, but motivational interviewing is probably something that your doctor has never done with you. And it's basically letting you lead the conversation and finding out what motivates you, because you're not going to change your diet if you don't want to. I mean, I could say to a patient, you know, who comes into the ER, you know, like, and chops off his finger, you know, with a knife or something, I'm not going to say, you know, stop using knives. He's not going to stop using knives. You know, he doesn't want to stop using knives, you know. So you talk to him and you'd be like, well, do you think maybe you could be, you know, more careful or use one of those stick things? You know,
don't watch TV while you're chopping vegetables.
Yeah, I don't know. That was maybe a bad example. But a big thing with, like, diet, like, you know, or exercise. If people, you know, oh, go, why don't you try run a marathon? No, why don't you take a walk in the park? You know, you'll get some nature, which is very good. There's studies on that. That's why you go into hospitals now and you see all these pictures, actual pictures, not paintings of nature. They actually...
That's funny, because like
all the new hospitals
in our hallway, it's all like fruits and like it's like harvest all through the hallway. And I'm like, some people think it's kind of stupid, but I kind of like it. I think it's sort of that subliminal, like in a good way. Like, hey, these are some foods that you can actually eat. Maybe you should try those instead of, you know, Hot Pockets and Mountain Dew.
Yes, these look tasty. So, mind-body medicine, it was a module that I loved and finishing up now and with my fellowship. And some things are like PMR, which is progressive muscle relaxation, where you tighten your eyes and then you let them relax. Mm. Meditation, yoga, you know, Tai Chi, Qigong, that kind of stuff, and biofeedback. These are all very good things, that, especially, you know, psychological issues.
Oh, yeah.
These are big and... it's just not talked about. And there's evidence on them for certain disorders. And, you know, it's just really hard for me. I know it takes time to teach this and talk to patients about it, but there's a lot of, like, websites that you can go to, like, through, you know, those big hospitals that you can go, and it has a progressive muscle relaxation that you can go through yourself. There's the kitty cat. And one thing with the mind-body medicine, my second birth that I had, I read the hypnobirthing book.
Yeah.
And I listened.
I did that for my first.
Oh my gosh, see, we are.
Yeah.
We are twins, right? And I just loved listening to the music and, like, you know, the CD that comes with it.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I wasn't in, you know, I wasn't hypnotized for birth, but I.
No, I wasn't either.
But it helped me deal with the contractions. Yeah. It helped. And now one thing I use is I go through that progressive body relaxation to get to sleep, because I work night shifts mostly part-time. And so if I need to go to sleep and I'm not, like, super tired, I start to go through that, and it just, like, puts me to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, insomnia, that kind of stuff. It's very cool. And one thing I told one of our instructors at my fellowship week was, I'm just so happy that I'm doing this fellowship for me. Like, this has been good for my body.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I bet.
That, like, I eat more vegetables. I try to meditate whenever I can. I use an easy iPhone app. I'm not endorsing. Or, I mean, I'm not getting paid to endorse it. But it's called it's called Calm. And it has some free ones. And there's like...
I can put that in the show notes.
Yeah, there's
it's called
few.
Calm?
Calm, yeah.
Okay.
And there's another one called Headspace. Just if you...
Oh,
there's
I've heard
a
of
few
that.
Of them.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I've heard of that. You
I haven't
that.
Tried that one yet. I need to. Is it good?
Headspace.
I've used it once, but I've had it on my phone a lot longer. But
right.
I just, you know, it's one of those things we need to make time
you just
for
don't
those
get
things.
To it.
And,
I know.
Yeah.
You just 5 minutes. Like, sometimes I just do 5 minutes. And
uh-huh.
If I do it consistently, like, I remember I did, like, 14 days in a row because it told me that. And I had more patience, like, with the kids, especially summertime. Summer breaks hard with the kids. And I'm like, I just need to... It is really cool. I mean, meditation. I spoke with this one. He was an ER doctor in Texas, and he's doing this fellowship. And he meditates, like, every day, like, a long time. And he meditates with, like, one of his children, and I'm like, you're a superstar. I'm like, I want to be like you. I'm like, I try to do 5 minutes.
That's my goal, like, to do it every day consistently, and
right,
also to teach my daughter, my 5-year-old, to do that too. And we just haven't made time.
I know it's so
it's
hard.
Not,
there's
not
so
having
much.
Time. It's making time. And do you feel like, since we live in such an instant gratification society, that people are more motivated to take a pill because they feel like it's going to work faster than, like, putting some work in a diet or...
Well, definitely. I think that there's just a lot of struggle. I mean, diet's really hard. We, you know, and one of the courses was mindful eating. I mean, think about the last time you sat down and just, like, used all 5 senses to eat a meal. I mean, we're rushed, we're eating, we're on the go, we're going to and from. And it takes a long time to cook healthy.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of disease comes from what we eat. I mean,
we
all know that,
mm-hmm.
but no one really talks about it, unfortunately.
Just about every guest on this podcast has mentioned it.
Yes, yes.
So there must be something to it.
Yes.
Well, I personally think that it is.
Well, it's, you know, the high inflammation stuff. But going back to instant gratification, I mean, It's in food, yeah, it's in medicine, and you trust, you know, that it's going to help. You know, here's a pill, it's going to make it better. Well, you should get off that pill. Your goal should be to try to get off the medications you're on. And mm-hmm. I take thyroid medication because I had to have some of my thyroid removed, and I don't like it. But I can't really reverse.
That's one of those
an organ gone.
Yeah, that's one of those that you have to stay on, and that's,
yes,
it's good for you to be on it.
Yes, but just a lot of things, you know, like heartburn medication and stuff. It's not mm-hmm. good to be on that stuff long term. Mm-hmm.
I was on it long term. I was on Prilosec for years and years, and I totally erased the reflux with my diet.
That's amazing.
Just only by going gluten-free. That's all that I did. I was dairy-free or anything. It was just, that's what did it.
Did you see other benefits, like, to your health when you took out gluten?
I did, yeah.
Like, it's gross to talk about, like, bowel movements. Yeah, IBS.
Yeah, my IBS did improve. And then when I eventually went dairy-free after my first daughter was born, then that really helped a lot of the gastrointestinal, the mm-hmm. lower gastrointestinal mm-hmm. stuff. But the upper stuff was relieved so much by just going gluten-free.
That's amazing.
And that's all I did.
Yeah. That felt good.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
Well, I had some chronic health issues, and it kind of bottomed out when I had Epstein-Barr virus. Mm-hmm. So I had to do something. And I was sick all the time. I couldn't do anything. So I just started reading and reading and reading. And I kind of stumbled upon gluten-free. And that mm-hmm. was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When it was still kind of a fringe thing. Not mm-hmm. a lot of people had heard about it. And it was harder to buy food that was gluten-free then.
Yes, I bet.
But I remember being in the grocery store and crying. You remember that? And I was like, I can't eat anything.
We kind of went through, like, fits and starts of doing it.
But I did it for the first time was a 6-month stretch, and it was amazing the difference it made.
Yeah, yeah. It is very interesting. When I gave up gluten because I was breastfeeding my son, and he had this diaper rash that wouldn't go away, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's gluten, because I had already given up dairy, and because he had some, like, reflux, and so I gave up gluten, and I had never felt better intestinally. Like, I was diagnosed with IBS when I was in undergrad, and looking back at it, that with my Hashimoto's diagnosis, and celiac just fits in, and mm-hmm. leaky gut and stuff, mm-hmm. and leaky gut is so big, and I'll talk to medical professionals about that, and it's starting, there have been some big articles in the last year coming out about the gut health and mind and stuff, and it's been coming up on, like, my feeds and stuff for the medical stuff. You know, like the conventional medical stuff, but still, it's out there, you know, I mean.
I just heard today that researchers are finally starting to learn that our gut is the most complicated process and piece of our body. Like, so many things depend on our gut health, and the gut is so complex in the way that it works. Like, they're learning what they don't know now.
Right.
They didn't even know what they didn't know before.
And we abuse our guts. I mean, we take, you know, we have toxins coming in the environment. We take medications that we don't always need to, or that we shouldn't, or that we need to, but that still, you have to take that into perspective. Mm-hmm. We eat horribly. We drink, you know, we don't drink enough water.
All right, I'm going to change the subject a little bit and go back to that part where you said that studying integrative medicine has kind of influenced the way that you take care of yourself and your family. And going back to school now, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about maybe how you pack your kids' lunches, maybe give us some tips for healthy eating for back to school, and also some things we can do to protect our immune systems.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. So the first suggestion would be to just pack your kids' lunches.
Period.
I know, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, so our 9-year-old, we'll let her buy every once in a while, and she said she'll get a salad, so that's good. But it's still meat on the salad. It's probably like the nitrates and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm very picky, you know, and I want people to know that I'm not perfect. My family's not perfect. We go out to eat still. Mm-hmm. We sometimes, you know, go out to eat where it's like fried food, because my husband really likes a burger and fries. But, you know,
we
also,
too.
Yeah, we'll eat at, like, we'll eat at Chipotle and stuff. But my big thing is, when you can control it and when you can eat at home or you can pack your kids' lunches, then do the best you can. And the best you can might just be to buy apples and not organic apples, or, mm-hmm. you know, just buy stuff without food coloring but still have it be packaged. And that's okay. But just, mm-hmm. that's what I don't want people to think that it's all or nothing. And a lot of people do think that, I feel like.
Yeah.
So, very overwhelmed. Like, well,
yes.
You don't even know where to start.
There's right, a lot of exactly. mom shaming in the crunchy world, I
yes,
think.
Yes.
And it's like, you're never doing well enough. Like,
right.
you know, well, I'm choosing to give my kids fruits and vegetables. Well, don't give them that, because that's in the dirty dozen and it's not organic. Well, that's, like you said, better than Cheetos, you
right.
know? So,
yes. yeah. Don't yeah. be too hard on yourselves. So, one thing with the school lunches is containers, what you should put the food in, because that's important too. And I would say those Ziploc, you know, I don't know if people are using the Tupperware Ziploc containers, mm-hmm. just throw those out. I mean, you can save them if you're like sending a meal off to like your mother-in-law or friends or something and have them heated up in glass. But you want to use stainless steel for lunches, or there's like some silicone ones that we got that like fold up that were cool that we use. You can also get those insulated ones that are stainless steel if you want to do hot stuff for the kids. But I would keep it that. Glass is kind of hard unless the kids are older. But
yeah, I was afraid of getting glass for kindergarten.
Right, yes, for kindergarten. But they have those nice, those Bentley boxes and stuff on Amazon. But I would stick with that. I mean, the other thing, I know we use regular baggies sometimes, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, sometimes I send my kids with the cloth ones, but if I pack the, you know, the cloth bags, sandwich bags, we have a bunch of those. But if I'm packing the lunch the night before, stuff gets stale. So that's kind of
okay.
like with not being too hard on yourself, you know.
And do your special packaging that you buy sometimes get thrown away by mistake?
So it happened once. So that's, we had these little containers that were stainless and the lid was plastic and the lid got lost for my son. But he was
uh-huh.
4 when that happened.
Okay.
My daughter doesn't really lose stuff as much. But so the Bentley boxes that I got offline, they have like a big, you know, thing that like clips, or like Planet boxes, they open so they're attached so that you're not going to lose the lid there.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so there are those options out there. And they can be pricey, but if you think about it, it's for the whole year, or you can use it for like 10 years. And they're nice. So I think packaging is something to think about. And with drinks, I would get them, you know, like a stainless steel. They have those, like thermos mm-hmm. or whatever. Just avoid plastic, even if it mm-hmm. says BPA, because there's other plastic that it's bad for you. And, you worry about estrogen mimickers and stuff with the BPA.
Yeah, I know.
And
I try to buy BPA-free, but I know that there's still concerns, and especially if you're heating things.
Right.
So, or freezing things in them, I've heard, is not good either.
Yeah, that's scary too, because I freeze a lot of my CSA vegetables in bags that are BPA-free, but it's still plastic.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I just put them in mason jars, but...
There you go.
Yeah. But the thing with kids, like, you know, get them a water bottle and tell them to refill it, mm-hmm. you know. I got these big ones. I have that one there. It's like 32 ounces, and that's what the kids and I drink out of all summer. You don't want to be drinking out of plastic bottles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big thing, because when they fill up those bottles, they fill them up and they expand the bottle with heat, you know, with that's how they get them filled. And just think about all that plastic. Like
I need
in your
to replace
water.
My daughter's
water
bottles now.
I was
going to
say, we need
now.
To do some more grocery shopping.
I know.
Well, don't.
She likes to throw things, and that's one of the reasons I didn't.
Oh, yeah, the metal. Well, but that's okay then. Then just, you know, wait until she's older, or
yeah.
try it at home, and just do the
yeah.
plastic one. But if you're getting, like, you know, one of those harder plastics, I'm just saying, you know, the,
mm-hmm.
the crunchy plastic that people.
Yeah.
Sometimes I see people just drinking out of those, like, they don't. That's all they drink out of.
Yeah.
And that, you know, definitely, that's might be doing some endocrine disrupting hormone disruption. So that's with the kids. And then they don't need a, you know, fruit juice when you're packing their lunch. They don't need one every day. You know, if you just give it once a week or twice a week, they can drink water. If you're going to do milk, do organic milk. So you're not, you know, getting the hormones and from the cows if they're treated. Also, or you could get, you know, do almond milk or something like that if they need calcium. But I actually, I have an article on my blog about, like, healthy lunches, and I made some fun different, like, roll-ups. Like, I rolled up in, like, a gluten-free from Aldi wrap with some bananas, honeys, and peanut butter rolled that up. You could do, like, there's a
I
lot of
I
creative.
I saw that one. Yeah.
So you can do a lot of fun
I need to look
things.
On there again.
Yeah.
I'm inspired a little bit.
It's kind of have fun with it. Now, that's more for, like, my 9-year-old who's going into fourth grade. Now, my kindergarten readiness son, who's 5, he just, it's hard. And don't, that's the thing. Like, sometimes all he wants is, like, gluten-free chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes I put those in the warm thermos and he gets that. Or he wants chocolate, you know, hazelnut and peanut butter.
Ooh.
Crustless, you know. He wants that.
Yeah.
And I'll sneak in, you know, some fruit sometimes, or I'll get some organic gummies for him. Uh-huh. I try not to, like, sugar overload him for the teachers. But, you know, we'll do like, chips and guac, like those little serving-sized guacamoles.
Oh, yeah.
Those are so easy to throw in.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but one thing I always ask the teachers, I'm like, does he actually eat that? Because I'm like, if he's wasting that whole thing.
And they are expensive.
Yes. So they'll tell me. They'll be like, no, he actually eats it. I'm like,
good.
Okay.
Good.
So that's those are some ideas for lunches. And, you know, and sometimes it can get boring. And if it does, just go to, like, you know, Pinterest or Instagram for inspiration.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult, and let them pack their own lunches too. You know, give them healthy options, and they can, you know, pick from those healthy options. Like, even applesauce that's squeezable, or, you know.
Yeah, that's something that our occupational therapist had suggested for our 5-year-old is when she was kind of being picky about what she was eating, to let her help cook and then actually put the food on her plate. And I've noticed that, or even in the garden, like, she'll eat vegetables if they're out of our garden.
Oh, that's good.
But she doesn't want to eat them if we bought them at the grocery store. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just a mental thing, I think, because it's cool to get it out of the garden and eat it. So hopefully if I get her involved packing her lunch, she'll
lunch. Because I probably would have just done it for her. So
right.
It's like, it's done.
Well, they want to have the choice.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like getting dressed. Here's 2 outfits you can choose to wear. So just one and them throwing themselves on the ground.
Or the whole closet where she just goes, I don't know what I want to wear.
Yes, it's definitely, it's a game sometimes.
Yeah. All right, and do you have any tips for us on immune boosting, immunity, protection from all those wonderful cooties that go around school?
Lots of germs. So the first thing I would just tell your kids is to just wash their hands. Like, teach them how to wash their hands, you know, before and after using the bathroom, before and after eating, or just get in the habit. Because honestly, like, that's the key. I work during flu season, and I don't get sick sometimes all season in the ER, where I'm seeing people and they're, like, coughing on me and stuff, and it's because I'm washing my hands. And not just the hand sanitizer, give them a good wash sometimes, too. The other thing that we do elderberry, and we do the gummies sometimes. So
where do you get elderberry gummies? Do you make them?
Target. I don't.
Target.
I did make some homemade ones. Like, I have a recipe on my website, like, homemade gummies. And they were good, but then they got, like, moldy in my refrigerator.
Yeah, ours did, too.
Yeah.
Like, after a couple weeks, and I sent them to work. He picked out the good ones, and I just sent him to work with them so he could eat. They were, like, elderberry, and they had gelatin in them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
what we did. Because the kids like making them. They use, like, little droppers and put them in the mold. They have fun.
Yeah. Ours were just boring and square.
That's
our little cubes.
Yeah.
But
those aren't boring.
They tasted good.
Yeah. Yeah. You could do that. Some people even make their own elderberries, but we just buy them online or at a local store. And they, you know, they're sugary, so the kids like to eat them. Because especially for me, like, the 4 or 5 year old range, it's just hard for them to take anything that doesn't taste good. My older daughter will, and even like he'll be 2 in November. My youngest one, I even give him some elderberry. My sister, we were visiting my parents, and my sister came, and she's like, oh, we have, like, a cough, just to let you know. So I'm like, oh, we went to the natural food stores in Erie, and we got some, elderberry gummies, and, like, my baby and, like, the kids, they, like, wanted it right away, so we, like, opened them in the store, and all ate them. But, you know, I give them the kids' dosing, and I take the adult dosing. And you can do that for boosting immunity, and then if you actually get sick, you can take that. Vitamin C, and zinc. And some of the times those will be in the elderberry, like, supplements. The one that I bought at the store had zinc in it also. And zinc's really good. There's some studies that, when you first get sick, to take zinc, and that will help cut down on colds. I remember, do you guys remember they used to have, like, that nasal spray that had zinc in it?
No, I never saw it.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, so I wrote an article about this because it was so interesting. So I used to use it in undergrad. It was called, like, Zicam. And I remember there were, like, a couple case studies where people lost their sense of smell because it was too much zinc in their olfactory nerve. Like, something happened with that.
Huh.
So they took it off the market.
Okay.
So now it's kind of, like, not people don't think of that as, when they reach for stuff, they don't sometimes zinc is forgotten about.
Okay.
You don't want to, zinc and copper kind of fight, not fight, but they regulate each other in the body. So you just don't want to overdo. I mean, this is something, if you're sick, just take it, you don't want to be
taking it year
round.
So you don't want to take zinc all the time. Okay.
Right. You don't need to, because you'll get it in your fortified food sometimes or your multivitamin.
Okay.
But vitamin C, you can up that when you're getting sick. And vitamin D, it's nothing that you're going to take preventively to get sick. You just want to take it all the time. Because if your vitamin D is low,
in Northwest Ohio, it's pretty inevitable that your D is going to be low.
Yes. Yeah, so that's just, but the big, with the kids, it's nice. The elderberry gummies, it's nice. I mean,
I need to find some of those.
Yeah, they do have some sugar in them,
Yeah.
But the kids are taking them, so that's...
If it's getting the good stuff into them and it's not like... my daughter would probably think it was great because I don't really let her have candy, so mm-hmm. she would be like, whoa, this is awesome.
Is this?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the hand washing is big and you can, do those things to boost immunity. Sometimes, essential oils can come into play. I mm-hmm. diffuse those. Mm-hmm. And I know you had someone on talking about that. So,
yeah.
Angela. So, yeah. That's also, sometimes I'll rub that on their feet. I like the KidSafe brand.
Okay, yeah.
So I use the Immunity Boom. Sometimes I'll use that. Or if we're, like, going on an airplane ride, I'll put that on the feet, or I'll spray it. I'll spray around us.
Oh, yeah.
So I do. But the thing is, there's not a lot of studies on that. So it just doesn't make me feel better. Does it actually work? Sometimes I wonder. But there are some studies on essential oils, mm-hmm. for different things. But mm-hmm. for that kind of stuff, I use that, too.
All right, this has been really fascinating. I've had so much fun nerding out with you.
I know, I love talking.
I'm so glad you wore your glasses to me.
Oh, yes, my work glasses.
Can you tell us how people can find you online?
Yeah, so I have a blog. It's www.integrativedoctormom.com. And it was just kind of something in January. I'm like, I'm just going to do this. And I try to get articles out as much as I can. I have some YouTube videos on there, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so if you go to videos on the page, it's on there. And one is about, immunity, for adults, what I do.
Wonderful.
Because it talks, about garlic and stuff and, what I personally do. So it's kind of mm-hmm. interesting because I have my own thing that I do, especially if I come home from the ER and I have, a sore throat. I, chow down on garlic and mm-hmm. I do all these weird things. So I have that and I just try to, get information out there as much as I can to people. And I will write about supplements. I did an article on SAMe, which is a very interesting supplement for it helps with osteoarthritis and depression. And it's just, and there's, in my blogs, I have tons of, like, evidence. So you click on the link and it goes to the PubMed. And that's why it takes me so long to write, because I'm not a writer. Yeah. And I, like, have to have it be, like, evidence-based where, so people aren't just like, what is she talking about? So I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, I do the best I can with it. So that's there. And my email's on there. But I, you know, it's something that whenever I can, I put out a blog. And then if there's a supplement that anyone wants me to, like, write a blog about, I would love to, like, research it more and write an article about it from my perspective. Like, I like to do that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's depending on the kids' schedules, you know. You're a mom, too.
Yeah.
They come first, right?
Yeah.
So, and then I'm on Facebook and Instagram. And my Instagram's kind of fun. That's kind of what I do most. I put some food up there. I put just some things about how I relax, sometimes quotes. And then my Instagram stories are more if you just want to, like, know how I am. Like, what I do in my free time, it's kind of, like, silly sometimes. Sometimes it's, like, me breastfeeding my son and, like, being like, oh, this is almost over. Not really. Aww. It depends on him. He'll be 2 in November, so
okay.
We still have a while. But so they can contact me that way.
Great. Yeah. And last question, what helps you thrive in the 419?
So we live by the Maumee River. We live in Perrysburg, and I love the river. My parents had a pond growing up, so I love living by the river. And just being out on the water, paddleboarding, kayaking, just looking at the water. You know, you could go down to dinner at the docks. It's just, it's beautiful. Or Side Cut Park. There's lots of parks by the river. It's just beautiful. For me, I just need that nature in my life. So that really helps me thrive. And doing it with my family, too, makes it even better.
And do you go outside in the winter as well when the weather is kind of bleh?
I do. So I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania, where we get tons of snow.
Okay.
So I'm not scared of the winter. I'm scared of other people driving in the winter.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that creeps me out about the winter is, like, accidents and, you know. But we go out, we put on our, you know, our suits and stuff, snow suits and snow boots, and we go out there, and, yeah, you can get vitamin D in the sun then.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can, try to take a trip down south in the winter, too.
Yeah.
If that's what your body needs, because we definitely, we go on spring break. Yeah, that helps.
Well, thriving in the 419 sometimes means getting out of the 419. I'm totally for that, too, because you have to rejuvenate sometimes, and our winters can be a little rough.
They can. Just make the best of it, right?
Well, thank you so much for being here. This has been really interesting and fun.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah.
Had a good time.
So maybe sometime you can come back and talk and pick a passion and let me know and come back and maybe do it again.
Yeah, of course. That sounds great.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. If you'd like to join the conversation or see pictures and videos, check us out on Facebook and Instagram under Thrive Tribe 419. You can find show notes from today's episode or listen to more episodes at tt419.buzzsprout.com or on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would mean a lot to me if you left a review wherever you listen to the show. Leaving reviews helps others find us and lets them know that we're the real deal. And it lets me know that you've been enjoying the show and that I'm not just sitting here talking to myself. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day and keep thriving.